7. So it's been a couple of weeks now, but the last time we studied, we made it down through verse number 14. In the beginning of the chapter, hopefully you'll remember, Jesus had somewhat of a confrontation with the Pharisees over the matter of their tradition versus the clear commandments of the Word of God. And that really is the context. It sets the context for the verses that we're about to study. In verse 14, it says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them." Now, he's been talking with the Pharisees, but at this point it says he called all the people unto him. So all of the ones who were there, the ones present at the time, he calls them all unto him, and he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." He tells everyone present to listen up, to pay attention, to take heed to what he has to say, and to understand. He wants them to understand this truth that he's about to give. And he says, verse 15, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." I can see why the Lord would tell them to understand, because there are a lot of people who misunderstand what he said here in verse number 15. Through the years, especially since I've been in the ministry and in talking with people, I have met many a person who used the Lord's words there in verse 15 to justify some vice, some sin, you might say, that they enjoyed. In the beginning of that verse, he says, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him." Can you imagine or think in your mind of how somebody might misapply what he says right here? By saying there's nothing from without that entering in can defile, naturally you're going to have people who like to drink, who like to do drugs, who like to partake in all sorts of things like that. And they'll say, "Well, Jesus said that these things don't defile me, so I'm okay to do those things." I have actually had numerous people tell me that using this text. But again, that's not what the Lord meant here. And we'll see in just a moment exactly what the Lord was talking about. And you have to remember the context, as I said, the context where this shows up, and you have to pay attention to exactly what the Lord says here in these verses. I found if a person is looking for an excuse, they'll always find one. They'll come up with some way to justify anything and everything, and I would imagine that all of us to a certain extent are guilty of that from time to time. It's just so against human nature for us to admit that we have a problem and that we're wrong about something. So instead of just coming clean and saying, "You know, this is wrong, it's sinful, but it's something I want to do and I'm going to do it." Instead of just saying that, people will begin to scratch and claw and do anything they can to come up with some justification for what they like to do. And they will go so far as to actually twist, or as the Bible says, wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. They'll actually take the Word of God and mishandle or twist around the scripture and use that as a justification for the wrong that's in their life. And that's what a lot of people do with this passage right here. They take what the Lord said and they twist that thing around and use it, as hard as it may seem, to justify some sin that they enjoy doing. But let's pay attention here to what the Lord said, and I think we can do what the Lord told us to do in verse 14, which is understand. If we'll just pay attention, I believe we can understand what the Lord meant here. He says, "There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him." Then he says, verse 16, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." The implication there is that some people don't have ears to hear. He says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he's not talking about a person just hearing the words that were spoken, but hearing the words with understanding what he means here by what he has just said. If any man have ears to hear, and again, the implication is some people don't have ears to hear. And here's a question I would have. Why would somebody not have ears to hear? Why would they not have ears to actually hear and receive the truth given by the Lord? Why would that be the case? Do you think it would be that they just simply don't want to hear? Would that be some of it? Just don't want to hear the truth? Would that be some of it, maybe? Absolutely. That's the main reason why any person would not have ears to hear is they just turn a deaf ear, as we like to say, to the truth. They don't want to hear it. Reality is that there are some people, a lot of people in the world today, that just simply do not want to hear what the Bible has to say. They just don't want to hear the truth, so they just turn it off. They turn a deaf ear to it. They reject it. Why would somebody not want to hear what the Bible has to say? Wouldn't we agree this morning? I'm sure we would. Hopefully we would anyway. And I know there are lots that would disagree, but in this crowd right here, wouldn't we agree the greatest book in the whole world is the Bible? Is there any greater truth than the Bible? In fact, there's no other infallible truth on this planet other than this book right here. It is the only one. So why in the world would somebody not want to hear what God had to say? If it is the source of absolute truth on the planet, why wouldn't everybody in the world want to hear what God had to say as it applied to them or any subject for that matter? Why would they not want that? You would just have to boil it down to the fact that they didn't want to hear it. That is exactly what I was going to say, is that I think the main reason why people don't want to hear the truth is because they don't want it to upset the apple cart in their life. They have a certain way that they want to live, and they know that if they listen to the truth and accept what the Lord says, and that means they're going to have to make some changes in their life. And a lot of people are just not willing to do that. Y'all understand this morning there are people in the world who are perfectly satisfied with the way they're living right now? And I'm not talking about living good. They living bad. And they're happy living bad. They're satisfied living bad. And they don't want to change the way they're living. And what this Bible does is it confronts them right where they are in their sin and tells them that they're wrong and that they need to change. And that's why many people don't want to hear what it has to say. That's why you will find people who don't have ears to hear. Why they're going to turn a deaf ear to the Bible, because they know that it's going to bring about some change or require some change that they're not willing to make. But anyhow, verse 17, the Bible says, "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable." After he goes into the house, his disciples want to know the meaning of what he said. "And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also?" It's as if he marvels that his disciples didn't understand what he meant. "Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him?" Don't you understand this, really, is what he's saying? And it shows you that even the Lord's disciples can be misunderstood at times. We can not quite understand or comprehend exactly what the Lord means. But verse 19, "Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats." Now, if a person paid attention to what the Scripture says, right here would clear up what the Lord means when he says what he does there in verse 15. When he says in verse 15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, what is he talking about? Is he talking about anything and everything that exists in the world that a person could ingest or take into them? Or is he just talking about certain things? Well, look at it carefully now. Look at it carefully. He says in verse 19, well, the end of verse 18, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it, that which is without, that entereth in, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the what? The belly. Look at it. And goeth out into the drought, purging what? All meats. Do you see that? What's he talking about when he's talking about stuff that people can take into them that don't defile them, that can't defile them? He's talking about drugs or alcohol or others. He's talking about food. Do y'all see that? That is the context. Remember what I said at the very beginning of the lesson? What set the stage for what we're talking about right here? What got the big discussion on tradition started? What got that started? Yeah, the Pharisees, but what did the disciples do that the Pharisees got all bent out of shape about? They didn't wash their hands before they... Y'all understand the context here? The context is people eating, not people doing drugs, not people getting drunk, and all this other thing, all this other stuff that people try to justify. The whole context is his disciples ate something. They put something in their mouth, some bread. They ate that. It went down into their belly. And I've been told all my life that human beings don't have bellies. You know that they have stomachs, and it's, you know, cows or whatever's got a belly. Well, according to the Bible, a human being does have a belly, and it's perfectly all right to say they got a belly, okay? And I got a good belly, by the way. A good one. But the context is his disciples picked up something to eat, bread. They put it into their mouth. It went down into the belly, and eventually that stuff is digested, and as Jesus said, it goes out into the drought, which I think everybody in here understands what that means, right? You understand that? Okay, so the context is people eating. What Jesus is saying is that what a person eats, what they take in that goes down in their belly, that's not what defiles them. That's not what gets them dirty, okay? Because that was what the Pharisees were making such an issue about. You're defiling yourself because you're picking up bread and you're eating it, and it's defiled bread because you didn't wash your hands before you ate it. And since you didn't wash your hands, it's dirty bread, so it defiles you. What Jesus is saying is you picking up a piece of bread and eating it, or in verse 19 he says purging all meat. You picking up anything and you eating that, taking it into your mouth and chewing it up and swallowing it and it going down into your belly, that does not defile you like these Pharisees are trying to say. That's the whole context here in the meaning of this passage. You cannot use this unless you want to justify some type of sin. And notice he's going to go on and further explain here, verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. He's going to tell them what really brings defilement. It's not eating something that you ate without washing your hands that defiles you. Here's what defiles you. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, look at this, out of the heart of men. Remember back up in verse 19, he said, because it entereth not into his heart. When you take food and you eat it, it doesn't go into your heart, right? It goes into your belly, not your heart. It goes into your belly. But he says, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men. Look at all this stuff. By the way, in case you're counting, there's 13 of these things that he's fixed to list here. 13 in the Bible 85% of the 13s in the Bible have to do with sin, rebellion, the devil, the Antichrist, something wicked. 85% of them that show up in the Bible. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 13, has 13 words in it. You ought to read that verse sometime. We've read it before. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is very loose morals, very bad immorality, just real loose bad stuff. Lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. Blasphemy is when you say something very disrespectful, very bad or ungodly concerning something that is spiritual, concerning the Lord or the Bible, the church, a Christian, whatever the case. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. If we're honest, we could probably find ourselves somewhere in that list, couldn't we? I mean, if you got by the adultery and the fornication and the murder, and even got by the theft, the covetous, and the wickedness, the deceit, the lascivious, the evil eye, and the blasphemy, I bet that next one got you. That pride. Because all of us got some of that. And any of us that would say, I don't have any pride, just demonstrate that we do have pride. We all have it to some extent. Now, some people, I grant, have more than others, but we all have a certain level of pride in our heart and foolishness. But he says these are the things that come out of the heart of men. One thing that should do is shed a little light on where the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. It says it's deceitful and desperately wicked is what the Bible says about our heart. And this all this stuff that comes out. So this stuff that you see listed here is prevalent in the world, right? Like evil thoughts. I don't imagine any of us got was the first one in the list. That probably got every last one of us right there. How many in here this morning could swear before God that you've never had an evil thought about something? Anybody? No. No. Can't do it. We've all had thoughts we didn't need to have, right? Evil thoughts. The evil thought, the adulteries. The world is full of adultery. It's all over the place today. Fornication, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, even in the church nowadays. Murders, every time you turn on the news, somebody's been murdered. It's all over. All of this stuff. But according to the context, where does all this stuff come from? What is it that brings about all of this bad stuff that we see going on in the world? The stuff we read about in the newspaper, we see on the news, the stuff we hear about. Where does that stuff come from? Why is that stuff even in the world now, according to Jesus? It comes out of the heart of men. Because men are depraved and sinful, we have a heart within us that's desperately wicked. And unless that heart, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes into a person's life and changes that heart, then this is all the stuff that you're going to see. And even after a person gets saved, if they don't keep their heart with all diligence, like the Bible says, their heart can still bring about some bad stuff. But anyway, Jesus says this is the stuff that defiles the man. He says, y'all worried about somebody eating bread without washing their hands? He's saying there's a whole lot worse issues than somebody eating something without washing their hands. And here's a list of it right here. And that stuff comes from within the man. You wonder sometimes, why did I do that? Well, it's your heart, because your heart's bad. You got bad heart problems. That's why we do the things that we do that's not right. It's coming out of a desperately wicked heart. He says in verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Lord wants to set the record straight on this whole thing here about what actually brings defilement. Now look at verse 24. It says, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. That's pretty much how it was wherever he went. Once the fame started spreading and people got to hearing about him and a lot of the people seeing the miracles that he did, no matter how hard he might have tried to be somewhere without anybody knowing, and it seemed like it never worked out. Wherever he went, the people would usually find him. They would somehow know he was there. It says, verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now here's a woman who's got a young daughter, and she's possessed of an unclean spirit. So obviously she's in a bad condition. And this certain woman here, she loved her daughter. That's very clear. She wanted her daughter to be better. She didn't want her to continue on in this condition. And she heard of the Lord, and she came and fell at his feet. When it says that she heard of him, I think it probably means she heard that he was there. But I believe that she had already heard about him long before he came to town. His word had spread all over of the Lord and the things that he was doing. And she finally hears, hey, he's here. He's in our town now. And she goes to him and she falls down at his feet. Notice her humility there. She falls down at his feet. She's not worried about who sees her, what anybody thinks about her. She just loves her daughter, and she wants to get some help for her daughter. And she's willing to come and fall at his feet in humility to try to get from the Lord what she needed for her daughter. And I've mentioned it to you before. We're often inhibited by what we fear others will think about us. Many times in life. I mean, can we all be honest and admit there's times that we don't do certain things that we probably know we ought to do because in our mind we're thinking what somebody else might think about us. So I want to do this and I probably need to do this, but if I do this, and this is what so-and-so is going to think about me. This is what so-and-so is going to say about me, so we don't do it. But as I've mentioned to you before, the Lord can let you get in a situation in your life where I promise you, you won't give one hill of beans what anybody thinks about you. And I personally believe that when we arrive at that place, we have finally gotten to a place where we can have the kind of relationship with the Lord that we need to have. Because as long as we're worried about what everybody else is going to think and their opinion of us, our image, our reputation and all that, we're not going to do the things that we need to do. We're going to be influenced by man too much. And that will always keep us from having the kind of relationship with the Lord we need to have. You can't have that thing the way it needs to be until you're willing to just throw yourself down at his feet and say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I just want to get to him where I can get what I need. And that's the way this lady was. Wouldn't it be a blessing? And this is just a simple, and this really isn't a major thing, but this is a simple thought about what we're talking about here. I know through the years in church there have been hundreds and thousands of times where during an invitation the Lord was dealing with people's heart about something and they knew that they needed to step out from where they were and come down to an altar and just pray. but they wouldn't do it because they were worried about what somebody in the church would think about them. Aren't we so petty and vain? Amen. We're just petty, vain. What does it matter what anybody in this church here thinks about you? What does that matter? We shouldn't ever hold back because we're worried about what somebody might think about us. If I come down here, they might think I got a problem. Well, you do got a problem. And the person in the pew got a problem. We all got stuff. We all got problems. But we are so petty and vain that we'll actually, I believe there's people in hell right now. People in hell right now because time and time again, they refused to come and get at an altar or come talk to a preacher or do what they needed to do because they were worried about what somebody would think about them. What a shame. Wouldn't it be horrible to know that you had to burn in hell forever and ever because you were worried about what somebody would say about you? We just petty and vain, us people are. Look here at this woman. She just falls at his feet. Verse 26, the woman was a Greek. Now, what was Jesus? I'm talking about in his, you know, in his earthly body, what was he? He was a Jew. That's what he was. And she's a Greek. But she's not worried. The Jews, how did the Jews and the Gentiles get along, by the way? That wasn't a very favorable relationship there, was it? They did not get along at all. But here's this woman. She doesn't let her race. You know, she knows she's a Greek, he's a Jew, but she doesn't care. She knows that the Jews don't think favorably of the Greeks or the Gentiles, but she doesn't care. She's not worried about that. She just comes and falls down at his feet, not worried about the fact that she's a woman, not worried about the fact that she's a Greek, not worried about anything that anybody might say about her. She doesn't care. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. That's where she lived, in Syrophoenicia. This is a northern portion of Phoenicia. It's close to Syria. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. That's what she cares about at this point. She's not worried about all that other stuff that's trivial and unimportant. She's concerned about her daughter. I want to get some help for my daughter. But Jesus said unto her, and this is a thought here that I had too when I was looking at this. This woman's actually not coming to the Lord for herself, right? She's coming because she has a daughter who's in a bad way that needs help from the Lord. Wouldn't it have been a shame if this woman had been so petty, so worried about people and their opinion, that she didn't do what she needed to do to get her daughter some help? Wouldn't that have been horrible? It's bad enough that a person won't get what they need, but when they're so concerned about others that they won't make sure that their children get what they need from God, that's really bad. That's really bad. This woman was there on behalf of her daughter to get the help she needed. Now look at this, verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. That's rough. Y'all tell me what the Lord just told that woman. I'm going to let y'all tell me what the Lord just told that woman. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Y'all heard that? Y'all understand that? He's saying let them first be ministered unto. And he said it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it under the dogs. Brother Jimmy mentioned it. The Gentiles were considered dogs, what they were considered, just dogs. Now, do y'all realize that probably, I don't even want to venture a percentage there, but it would be a tremendous amount of people who right there, I mean just right there, that would have cost them the miracle that they needed right there. Because you know how many people, if they had somebody say something like that to them, because people today are so tender and just, you know, got their feelings out here on their sleeve, you know, and all the time walking around looking for something to get offended about and bothered about, you know. They would, right then, if they'd have heard that, they'd have gotten mad, wouldn't they? They'd have gotten mad. How dare him talk to me that way? How dare him refer to me as a dog? I'm not going to put up with something like that. Ain't no man going to talk to me that way. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm just saying what people say all the time anyway. I ain't going to put up with that. Who does he think he is? Who does he think I am to talk to me like that? And they'd have spun around and they'd have walked off and left without the miracle that they needed, because their feelings got hurt or they got offended or they got upset. Think of today. Just, I see it all the time. The people who come to church and they hear the truth from the Word of God, and instead of accepting that truth as God says it, they get mad and get offended and they leave and they don't come back. People that have just quit church, just get out. Who does that preacher think he is? How dare him talk to me that way? How dare him preach something like that? Well, if it's coming out of the Bible, what's wrong with it? I've said it and I'll say it to my dying day if God will give me breath. If it's the truth, it doesn't matter whether you or I or anybody else likes it. It's the truth. And if we get mad about it, the problem's not with the truth. The problem is with us. And the reason why many don't get what they need from the Lord is because they simply cannot handle the truth, listen, about themselves. People will sit and listen and listen and listen as long as you're preaching on somebody else. Give it to them, preacher. Tell them like it is. They need that. That's good preaching, brother. Shake your hand on the way out. Man, I'm glad you told them today, brother. Gave it to them, yeah. But when you start preaching about their sin, when the Lord starts shining the light on their problem, that's what a lot of people can't handle. They get mad instead of getting right. And even these people that say, well, I don't know why they get mad. If the shoe fits, they ought to wear it. How many times have I heard that in the years? And then the very same person who said that, well, preacher, I wouldn't worry about it if they got mad. If the shoe fits, they ought to just put it on and wear it. And the next Sunday I preach and they get mad. You know why? Because that Sunday it was on their toes. Had to do with them. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You listening to me? I love you. If you are all for the Lord dealing with somebody else's problems but get mad when he deals with yours, you're a low-down hypocrite, what you are. And you're never going to get what you need from God. The Lord basically just called that woman a dog. That's what he did. You know, just a Gentile dog is what you are, which is what she was. That's what she was, just a Gentile dog. She wasn't a Jew. But let me show you something here. Well, I ain't got time to show you. We're going to have to stop. We're out of time here. We'll look at it next time. Any questions about what we looked at here today?